The Jason and Alexis podcast is brought to you by our friends at The Free House.
Get that pickup and delivery Tuesday through Sunday.
Get the menu and more at thefreehousempls.com.
Thanks, Free House.
Hey, Jace.
Hey.
I have a great idea. I think you should take us to the Lowry after the show.
Oh, how convenient for you to come up with that great idea. But yes, I'll take you and Dawn to the Lowry, okay?
What are we eating?
Are we thinking comfort food? Dawn, yes. You thinking comfort food, Lex?
Yes.
Okay.
I'd really like some meatloaf if they have it.
Oh, wow. You're getting very, very particular. But Dawn, we can hook you up at the Lowry because it is comfort food at its best. They have Ma's Meatloaf.
Ooh.
Don't you love that name? It is a generous portion of house-made meatloaf. You get some mashed potatoes, some root veggies, some chipotle ketchup. Oh. So, Dawn, we got your order. Lex, are you thinking comfort food, too?
You know it. I need some comfort right now. It's cold out.
How about a Cubano? How does that sound?
Oh, yum. Yes.
A baguette, mustard blend, fire-braised pork, smoked ham, pickles, and Swiss cheese. You know what else I'm going to get you right now? We're all going to split a velvet burger. It is It's 2 4-ounce beef patties, Velveeta cheese, roasted poblano peppers, peanut pesto aioli, sandwiched on a brioche bun.
Wow.
Boom.
Whoa, yumbo.
Yumbo isn't a word. But you know what is a word? Is pickup and delivery. And the Lowry offers both Tuesday through Sunday. For more information, go to thelowryuptown.com.
On a summer evening.
That is the very unattractive Harry Styles. Kicking off our 7 o'clock hour. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Jason and Alexis in the Morning. On My Talk 107.1. Everything entertainment, everything deep thoughts. I'm Jace with Lex.
By Jack Handy.
Handy.
And now deep thoughts by Jack Handy.
If you're a cowboy and you're dragging a guy behind your horse, yeah. I bet it would really make you mad if you looked back and the guy was reading a magazine.
Oh my God. I love those so much. That's so great.
Let's do one more.
Nine Deep Thoughts by Jack Handy.
Instead of having answers on a math test, they should just call them impressions. And if you got a different impression, so what? Can't we all be brothers?
Yes.
My favorite is one I don't think we can air, but it's Grandpa Goes Fishing, and if you find it, you should preview it first so you can determine whether or not we can air it. But that's something for a break.
Uh-huh. Okay, I'll preview that one.
Yeah.
I'll preview. Welcome to the show. Welcome to our final live show of the week, because it is Turkey Week. It's Thanksgiving week. And we're glad that you're here. Sit back, relax. We're about 13 minutes away from another winner in our Live for Free or Die Trying contest. $100. Dawn McLean's going to say your beautiful name. Then you have beautiful 10 minutes to call us. And then you're entered to win $10,000.
$10,000.
Wow. So
Live
that's
for
coming
free
up.
For the rest of the year.
That's right. But it is, it's an odd week. It's an odd year for Turkey Day, for Thanksgiving, for obvious reasons, pandemic. Mm-hmm. And things are different, including the parade. The Macy's Thanksgiving parade will be different. Lex, am I right on that? Are they even doing it?
Yeah, they are. They're doing it, but it won't be the 2.5 mile parade with a live audience. This is a parade just for the TV audience, of course.
Oh, okay.
And it will be tied only to the cameras that are in front of Macy's Herald Square, that flagship store there on 34th Street in New York City.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's basically the distance they'll travel.
Wow.
Yeah, to see it and to, because it's a tradition. I mean, they've been doing this for so many years.
So sad.
Yeah, so they're kind of going to be treating this year's parade more like a movie set.
Oh, okay. Well,
it's like just going around the corner where it's in the frame, and then it's like, all right.
Yep, and we're done.
That's fine, though. Yeah, I mean, because
it's
the best
you can do.
Yeah.
The pivot, yeah. And there'll be the Today Show, of course, will be there. Savannah, Hoda, Al hosting it 3 hours. Okay. Jimmy Fallon and the Roots scheduled to open the show. Mm-hmm. Lots and lots and lots of performers, as usual, will be showcased. Lots of shows, of course. But they've really found a balance of how to do this. So there'll be some pre-taped elements and, of course, the live as well. But hopefully they'll create that magic that everyone's, you know, to create some kind of normalcy for people.
Well, I mean, they've managed to do it somewhat with sporting events, even though I don't love the piped in applause. But and the vast majority of people are watching it on television. We probably, I would bet, we're not going to notice much difference other than no cutaway shots of the crowds.
And no high school or college marching bands.
Okay, that's then maybe we'll notice. Yeah, but I don't know. I think it'll be fine. I think we will. We'll get through a year without a normal parade. Here's what depresses me. I had this on the sheet a couple days ago. This is what just makes me sad is just the downfall of department stores like Macy's.
Mm.
I had this. It's a much longer conversation, and maybe we should get Allison Kaplan up here from Minnesota business, but because I know she feels the same way. And I know I'm of, you know, all four of us are from a generation that maybe some of you listening, you're younger and you don't have the memories of department stores like perhaps the four of us do.
Oh, yeah.
But it really, and you know what happened was I went into a Macy's, and let me be clear, I'm not going to, nor do I want to pick on them. My observations here are because I want them to be magical. I want them to be better. But anyway, I went in there to, what the hell was I getting? It doesn't much matter. But I went in there.
G-string.
Some lingerie for Colin. I was getting some lingerie.
Yeah, that's what you were going for.
But I was in there, and I won't say which particular Macy's I was at, but it was, I'm going to be very blunt, it was very sad. You know, it was, there are large portions of the show, of the store that were kind of run down. And, you know, like the carpet was gross, ripped.
Did you have to try anything on?
No.
For what you were looking for? Okay.
No,
I was wondering
if there were
piles of clothes in the...
No, I was in homewares, and it was just, I don't know. Now, look, let me be fair and let me balance this out. For the Rosedale Macy's, because I'm there a lot for obvious reasons because of B&E, the Rosedale Macy's is fantastic. That's one of the better Macy's, and it's fabulous. But I got to tell you, I think all four of us, and Dawn, I don't know the chains that were in Missouri, but for me, and Lex knows where I'm going here, I'm spoiled. I'm from the Chicago area. So I was blessed with great memories of Carson Peary Scott and Marshall Fields. And the feeling
Dayton's
of walking in those grand stores. Let's do this. Let's take a break because it's 7:12. Yeah, let's take a break. Let's continue this on the other side. And we have that winner coming up too. Stay with us. Back in a moment. Welcome back. Jason and Alexis in the morning. I'm iTalk 107.1. Okay, we're going to continue our conversation, but I don't want to forget the contest, so I'm going to set a reminder with Siri. Stand by, everyone. Hey, Siri, set a reminder for 7:20 a.m. to talk about the contest.
Okay, added to today's reminders.
There we go.
Okay. Thank you.
There we go.
We get to talking, and then we're like, whoa, yeah, it's
we get into
two
it.
Minutes.
And then I think about late. Kenny, and I get distracted. And before we know it, it's 7:30. Anyway.
For you guys, it was Macy's and whatnot. Yeah. For me, growing up, it was Sears on Lake Street and Chicago as I pour coffee. Don't mind me.
Oh, I love it. No, that's what everyone else is doing. I love it.
We would come into town, you know, 4 or 5 times a year. Stay with my grandparents and always go to Sears because we'd stock up on everything. And the great thing is, you park in the parking lot, you walk right in to the tool department. which was depressing for me because my mom would grab me by the ear, take me upstairs, get me some pants, some shirts, some Granimals, et cetera, et cetera.
Granimals.
As soon as I got those fitted, I run back downstairs and meet my dad, and all we did was walk around the tool section and drool, and it was so awesome.
This is the best story
And
ever.
Then they closed Sears. They closed Sears on Lake Street in Chicago. And they opened it up at the Mall of America, which was depressing for me until I walked in there the very first time. There's a parking lot, an outdoor parking lot right next to the Sears store, reminiscent of Lake Street and Chicago. And you walk in, and you're right in the tool department. It was so cool. And all the appliances and TVs and everything that interested me was right there on the main floor. And I have to say, for as long as Sears was in the Mall of America, not once did I go to their second level. Not once. And like you were saying about, it was just all tools. It was so awesome, Alex. And like you were saying about Macy's, Jason, when they finally started shutting it down, I went in there during the final days. It was so depressing.
Yeah.
Shelves were empty, carpet torn, crap everywhere, nothing in stock. And oh, it was just a slow, miserable death for that store. And I really, seriously miss Sears. I can't believe they invented the catalog and they couldn't make the internet work for them. It just astounds me.
Astounds me. Kenny, the fact that poor leadership, they could have been Amazon. Sears could have pivoted, and Sears could have been just like Blockbuster could have been Netflix.
There was nothing you couldn't buy. You could buy a house from Sears. You could buy a locomotive. Anything goes with Sears when they first started. It was just amazing, an amazing company.
I still say that too. It's like, we need an appliance. We're going to Sears.
Yeah.
Well, yep.
No, we're not.
Well, I need paint. No. My friend Chris Fisk, part of the high school four.
Yeah.
All during our high school days, worked in the paint department. And I remember spending an inordinate amount of time in the Sears paint department hanging out with Chris. And I don't know. I just, you know, again, for me, taking field trips on State Street in Chicago, and Phil Jones, you know, I want to smother him in his sleep sometimes too, but he's right 50% of the time. And this is what he wrote right here. He goes, "You're absolutely right, Jason. Going to a department store back in the day felt like a magical experience. You open those double doors to a land of great decor, classy music, and scents." And he's absolutely right.
Customer service.
And
you know who nailed
it?
The movie Christmas Story. They absolutely nailed the department store experience in that movie.
I hate to interrupt.
Dude, it sucks this year.
It's time to announce a Live for Free name. We have Kristen Carlson from Minnetonka is this hour's name. Kristen Carlson, call us back 651-641-1071 in the next 10 minutes. If you do, you win $100 and you're entered to win the grand prize of $10,000. 651-641-1071. Kristen Carlson from Minnetonka.
There we go. Damn Siri didn't, my wrist didn't buzz. She really did. I apologize, Dawn.
I just didn't want to interrupt your conversation about department stores. I'm just staring at the phone now.
No, thank you. Yeah, Dawn's just staring at the phone. But no,
Dawn's experience in dirty old Missouri, the rat's ass store.
Yeah, McLean, I don't want to leave you out. What was the chain? What were the chains? I'll keep an eye on the phones too. What were the chains? You know, again, like Alexis said, it was Dayton's here. Kenny loved the tool department. I had Carson Perry Scott and Marshall Fields. What was yours, Dawn?
I mean, we had like Sears, JCPenney's. It's Macy's now, but it used to be something else, and I don't remember what it was. But it was the more high-end one in the mall. I'm jealous that you guys had this experience of these old department stores that had been around forever, since like whenever, the 1920s. Because, you know, we did have them. We had one in our downtown area that ended up closing, but everybody used to, you know, it was like multi-level. It was in our little downtown area, and it closed. I think they've working on reopening it, but you know, it still was special. It was like all beautiful, decked out with the trees during Christmas time, and you know, it just felt exciting to go through there. And I loved the mall anyway. So getting samples at the perfume counter and, you know, being annoying, I'm sure, as a teenager to this, the ladies in there was awfully fun also to just chase your friends around. But yeah, I mean, the mall experience in general.
Yes.
You know, that was just like, that was where everyone went.
It was like a town square. It was a modern,
yeah, I mean, if you couldn't go to the mall on the weekend, you were, you know, like, you felt like you were so out of the loop. Like,
yep.
You were never going to recover in your little teen heart, you know, that you're missing out, your FOMO there of not being at the mall. My mom usually just let me go if I was spending the night with somebody and, you know, their parents would take me. But it wasn't something that... One time I had a bad experience in the mall, though. It was in a store called It's a Small World.
Oh, no. This wasn't involving a mime, was it?
Nope. Okay. Not that kind of a bad experience. But it was... I stole some candy when I was in, second grade. And they had to page my mom in the mall.
No,
but she was in Sears, so the page didn't go in there. And, oh, my God. But
Mrs. McLean, can you please get your daughter at the candy counter? Mrs. McLean, to the candy counter, please.
Oh, my gosh. And there was a cop in there, and it was $1 worth of candy, but I thought I was going to die. Anyway,
your phone's ringing. Yes, the phone's ringing. Oh,
That reminds me. My mom says every time we would go to Sears, they would have to page her because she couldn't find, or they would have to page somebody because I was always lost. I would always just kind of go my own way, usual.
And they couldn't find me. It's a foreign experience for us, isn't it, Lex, with Kenny? I don't know what you're talking about, Kenny.
Well, we have Kristen on the phone with us.
All right.
Hi, Kristen.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Yeah. Congratulations. Did you?
Thank you.
Now, did you hear or did someone email, text, or call you?
I heard it. I was making my toast and I heard it.
Wow. Oh, nice. Well, congratulations.
And I wasn't sure I had remembered the right phone number, but it was. So thank you so much.
Nice. Now you are entered to win the $10,000 big prize. If you won, what would you do with the money?
Give it to Kenny.
Well, I think probably some in savings and some for traveling.
Yes.
Good. Anywhere.
Kristen, will any be going to Kenny? We always have to ask. Will any be going to Kenny?
Kristen, let's go to Maui, Kristen. Let's go.
Okay. Sounds good.
Maui. Kenny.
Oh, my God.
Kenny, she didn't say no, Kenny. Kristen didn't say no. Let's write that down. Yeah, exactly. Okay. Well, thank you, Kristen.
Yeah.
Kristen, don't hang up. Dawn has to get some information from you, but thank you so much for being a loyal listener. It really means a lot to us that you enjoy the show. So hold on just a second. Thank you. 7:26 is the time. We'll be back right after these words. Was this
before you go,
Kenny.
I'm
better
sorry.
Than the song. Let's be clear.
Hold my own finger.
Well, let's be clear that.
No.
Let's be clear that sound effect was better than the song.
Oh.
So bad.
Yeah.
I love that it's still.
At the American Music Awards, you know.
Oh, whatever. We're gonna talk about the Grammys and speaking of music,
I saw that.
I think now Bea Arthur is leaving this song in just because she knows how much we all hate it. Well, and she's going to call in because she's going calling in to tell us the epic story.
Yes.
Of how Lori and Julia had to do their show from home. And it was an epic disaster over a 2-day period. And again, here's just all you need to know. Here's one tease line, because B honestly would not tell me the story until she told it on the air. All she would tell me is Lori didn't know how to copy and paste something on a computer. I just want everyone to kind of let that sink in for a second.
That doesn't seem possible?
I use that every day so much. Like
every dawn?
Half of
right?
what I do is copy and paste.
Yes. She didn't know how to copy and paste. And as my husband says, it's one of my favorite quotes ever from my husband when he was trying to help his mom sync up her Apple Watch.
Yeah.
He said, quote, "It's like trying to teach a monkey how to fly a spaceship." I died laughing when he said it. He was so frustrated. He's like trying to teach a monkey how to fly a spaceship. So B. Arthur will be joining us in the 8 o'clock hour.
Because I'm staring at the phone again.
Yeah, no. Don't worry about it. No, I have it, Dawn. Don't worry about it.
Stop obsessing.
Don't worry. I want you to be not stressed. I'll leave you being stressed for Don and Steve. Let Steve stress you out. I want you here to not be stressed. So you don't worry about anything.
It's okay.
Yeah.
She knows we're calling, right?
OB? Yes, yeah, I okay. did. No, I double checked with her yesterday.
So
I took
her in the 8.
Yes, yeah. I took care of that booking. I took care of that. I booked our boss. So yes, she'll be calling in a little bit later. Okay, Lex, you're our music woman. You are. I mean,
not
you
as
follow
much
the,
as I used to be, but yes.
Well, you've had a baby. Why do I keep seeing headlines about The Weeknd and the Grammys together? What's happening here?
Well, because it was a big snub for him. If you watch the American Music Awards, you would think that The Weeknd was it. Okay. So hot, because he won almost every award. It was just like, wow, there's The Weeknd going again with his bandaged face, which is all makeup. He's not injured. It's all about drunk driving and warnings of what could happen to you if you drink and drive. If you were wondering and, you know, saw him. But he was barely nominated for a Grammy. The Grammys, though, Beyonce. She was nominated for 9 awards. Also, Taylor Swift, Dua Lipa, and Roddy Ricch all tied for 6. Well, they all were nominated 6 times. So, but that's kind of the big takeaway, is that where's The Weeknd?
Yeah.
Where's big snub, it feels like, for that.
And he wants to know, he's talking about the lack of transparency. I was watching it in one of the commercial breaks on CBS this morning. I'll try to find the clip here, but
Perfect, because he's even confused by it.
Yeah, I don't follow the Grammys a lot. I don't quite get let me rephrase that sounded bitchy because I'm a fan of The Weeknd. What is he wanting from them? Do you understand, Lex, as far as he wants more transparency? But I don't get what the problem is.
Yeah, well, I'm hoping because I didn't see that clip, if that was from this morning. I'm hoping that he'll elaborate on that.
Yeah,
I knew he was upset about it, but
I just don't understand what what he's wanting, or what is he saying that it's hinky, that the voting is hinky, and haven't we just gone through this? No, but I mean, I'm just wondering what exactly he's accusing the Grammy folks of doing. So I don't know.
He's going as far as calling it corrupt.
Yeah, but what aspect of it is he thinking? There's money being exchanged. What is it? I don't know.
Yeah,
but I'm looking at I'm looking at Twitter, and everyone is agreeing that it's a huge snub.
It is. Yeah. I mean, yeah, definitely compared to the AMAs. But it also looks like The Weeknd, you know, there's also been rumors that he would perform at the Super Bowl. And what he's saying is that by him agreeing to that, that's cost him Grammy nominations. Because it made the Grammy, you know, honchos upset.
Oh, okay.
Oh, well, this is so dumb. Remember last year, the CEO, Deborah Dugan, she accused the Grammys of misconduct and went as far as saying that the previous CEO had raped an artist. Remember that?
Yes.
That whole story, it seems like so long ago, but and then they ousted her. Like, she you know, they sued her and they kind of did a tricky way of ousting her. It was a really, really confusing time last January. And Neil Portnow, he was the previous CEO, and these allegations against him, he denied it, of course. But it was a real big upset. And she revealed a lot of misconduct within the Grammys. And well, people were very upset because she wasn't happy with the way the Grammys were being run.
Well, I'm on Rolling Stone right now. Let me read you a little bit of this to put some of this into context and add a little bit of clarity. On Twitter, The Weeknd wrote, the Grammys remain corrupt. You owe me, my fans, and the industry transparency. Yeah. Now, as Alexis pointed out here, reading in Rolling Stone, a source to Rolling Stone alleges that The Weeknd's shutout followed weeks of talks about a performance at the actual Grammys. Quote, there were many conversations between the Grammys and The Weeknd team about his performance for the Grammys. It continues. There was an ultimatum given, resulting in a struggle over him also playing the Super Bowl that went on for some time and was eventually agreed upon that he would perform at both events. The Recording Academy had all those conversations with the Weeknd team in the past month, and today the Weeknd had not one nomination and is now completely ignored by the Grammys. Now, the Grammys are saying this, the chair of the Recording Academy, quote, we understand that The Weeknd is disappointed at not being nominated. I was surprised and can relate to what he's feeling. His music this year was excellent, and his contributions to the music community and broader world are worthy of everyone's admiration. Unfortunately, every year, there are fewer nominations than the number of deserving artists. To be clear, voting in all categories ended well before The Weeknd's performance at the Super Bowl was announced. So in no way could it have affected the nomination process. So, I don't know. I don't know enough about how the voting works in the Grammys. Now, the Oscars, I have a better pool. I have a deeper pool of knowledge. This eludes me a little bit. I don't know. Is it sour grapes? Is it, you know, hey, I want the, I don't know. I don't want to come down on The Weeknd because, again, I don't know enough about how the Grammys. Now, I do know the accusations that Dawn just pointed out and you pointed out, but is it happening? I don't know. Let's get Colleen and Bradley. Let's go deep in the shallow. Let's have them look on this.
Yeah, they definitely need to cover this for their podcast.
We've reached our Jason. We can only talk.
Pool.
Yeah, please. Yeah. Colleen and Bradley can do a 2-hour special on it. Well, that's Colleen and Bradley. Can you go deep in the shallow on this, please?
Yes,
thank you.
Yes.
Please. Because you'd think that with the AMAs and the Grammys, there might be some consistency there. Yeah. You know,
But sometimes it's like the Golden Globes and the Oscars. There is some crossover sometimes.
Yeah, right. That's true. But and maybe he's a little embarrassed too.
Yeah, that could be. That could be.
You know, the AMAs. I mean, again, it was just like there he is again, winning. There, singing with Kenny G. Oh, he won again.
Yeah.
And yeah, to be snubbed like that, but
who knows? We'll never know. We'll never know the real story again. Download Deep in the Shallow if you want to know the whole story by Colleen and Bradley. Available now wherever you get your podcast. See how I slipped in that liner with the conversation?
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Perfect.
They don't give these shows to zebras. 741. Well, I mean, sometimes they do. They don't give these shows to monkeys is actually Letterman's line. Anyway, 741.
And the Grammys are January 31st on CBS.
When we come back, I finished The Crown, and I have thoughts. I have many thoughts.
Ooh.
Many, many thoughts. And you'll hear those thoughts when we return. Jason and Alexis in the morning. My Talk Radio 71, everything entertainment, everything. Dawn and Alexis are beautiful. And Kenny is very handsome.
Oh,
I get you, baby.
Thank you.
I love this song.
I do, too. I do, too. I finished The Crown.
Oh, yes, yes. You love The Crown,
four.
Don't you?
I love The Crown. And I'm just going to say this right away, because I don't want to ruin anyone's day, especially like my friend Lisa, La Corsier. If you're not quite done yet, here's this.
Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
I'm not listening.
Yeah, so if you haven't watched it, I won't ruin too much. But then again, I mean, let's keep in mind, too, it's based on history, so it's not it's hard to do spoiler alerts for history. But anyway, this is the season. If you don't watch The Crown or if you're not quite sure, this is season four, and this is the Margaret Thatcher Diana years. This is 1979 through 1990-91. And as Vulture said, as this season was released, this is what we've been waiting for. This is the juicy stuff. And, and look, I've loved one through three. I loved every single season. But this really, because of, well, we lived through this. This is what we've waited for. And my overall thoughts now that the season is over is, I must say, I enjoyed the Margaret Thatcher queen plotline or dynamic almost as much as the Diana stuff. And I did not expect that. And that is in large part to an amazing performance by Gillian Anderson as Margaret Thatcher. To say, and Colin, or I'm sorry, my friend Jen, who loves British television and so much so that she belongs to a British TV Facebook group, she has been reading comments, and I guess people in the UK, Brits, are actually hating Gillian Anderson's performance of Thatcher. Over here in the US, she is being celebrated, and I'm one of those celebrating her. She is phenomenal, and I don't know what the Brits have against her, but whatever. Here's just a little bit. You can kind of get a sense of the cadence, her tone. Gillian is so great. This is a meeting. This is an audience with the queen that the prime ministers have. She's sitting in the room where this happens, and Thatcher's being pushed out. This is 1990. Thatcher is being pushed out by the government, and she's not happy about it, and she has gone to the queen to discuss this. Here's a little bit of Gillian Anderson as Margaret Thatcher.
Changes to fishing license conditions, but nothing I would want to waste your valuable time with.
You don't think we should briefly discuss that speech?
Which speech?
The resignation speech made by Sir Geoffrey Howe that's caused such a stir.
Why would we want to discuss that?
Because a great deal of fuss is being made of it.
Oh, poor Geoffrey. I had offered him the position of Deputy Prime Minister, and he seems to have taken it rather the wrong way.
In the newspapers, his speech is being seen as a direct challenge to your authority.
I think that all depends on which newspapers you're reading.
Not just...
She's so good. And then you go to Olivia Colman playing the Queen this season. She's never been better. And then finally, Emma Corrin as Diana. I could look, this we'll probably need something on Monday, and I'll probably expand on this on Monday. You know, guys, what I when I finished this, it brought back all the sadness that I felt in 97 on the night that Diana died. I wasn't like I am with Dallas or Star Wars. I wasn't an uber fan of the Royals, but I don't know why, but Diana's death really, even at 22 years old, really struck me. I was really sad. Yeah. And this brought it all back. And I think it was the magic of her. You know, I went into a deep dive after the season finale, and I came across a Fergie soundbite. Fergie and Oprah were talking about Diana, and Fergie kind of put it really well. This was 96, so Diana was still alive when she was being discussed. And Fergie said, the thing about Diana is nobody has done it better. The term she used, Diana just glides through the process. Mm. And there was a magic to her. And then I started watching clips of her and interviews. It just made me remember what was lost when we lost her. Yeah. And Dawn, I wish I could see your face. She really was kind of a fairy tale that we wanted to believe, but then at the same time, Diana was one of our first realizations that fairy tales aren't real. So as much as she personified the fairy tale, not only to Britain but to us, she was also a wake up call that fairy tales are just that, they're not real, and what happens in that house. Yeah. Isn't the stuff of Disney movies. What were you going to say, Lex?
I was just wondering if you feel, I don't know, it's bad is not maybe the right word for it, but maybe awkward watching it, knowing that her sons don't like what they're doing with, or to be even featured in The Crown. You know, before it was different because, yeah, they're dead and gone, but... Can you imagine how weird that must be to have your mom portrayed in the series?
Just the craziest ever, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you feel at all like icky about watching it? Or no?
I don't feel icky at all about watching it. But it's a great question, though. You know what? I will say that Prince Charles does not come out of the season looking great. And I consider myself smart enough to know that I'm watching entertainment and I'm not watching a David Attenborough documentary about the royals. Mm-hmm. I can put on my hat, I can put on my critical thinking hat and parse out, okay, 40% of this is probably dramatized. Sure. Even parsing out the possibility that 40% of what I'm watching is false, still I'm only human, and I walk away not liking Charles. I feel awful for Diana. But it's interesting. At the conclusion of it, I don't feel icky watching it for the boys, Lex. I feel, I actually, as much as I did not like him this season, I feel bad for Charles.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel bad for Charles because I'm sure the truth is somewhere in the middle. Yeah. I don't think Charles was as bad as this is portraying, and I don't think he's good and as innocent as his defenders are shouting now. Right. So I feel bad for him because there's really no way to defend yourself in a position like this.
And I wonder if the queen is like, you don't say a word about this kid.
Yeah, or if it's so, she's probably so above it, but because he does not look good. I mean, we don't have time, but there's a confrontation that the queen has with her son that is it's so good. I we had time, I would play it, where she is basically like, you and Diana are privileged brats, and if I hear you complain one more time about how miserable you are, she basically says to him, act like a king. You're going to be king. Start acting like one. And ooh. I literally just gave you the line. And it's a powerful scene. I have so many mixed emotions. And then I went back and I listened to Elton John's Candle in the Wind. And I was crying. And oh, my goodness.
Wow. You're glutton for punishment, aren't
girl,
you?
Girl, I was all melancholy. But. Yeah. Yeah, it makes me sad. It's amazing to think about what Diana would have done. You know what I mean? What she would be like right now.
Oh, I know.
What she would be like with her grandkids, with Meghan Markle. You know what I mean? What Harry and William would be like, and what position she would have in the world. It makes me sad. It makes me sad.
I think that's my hesitation for continuing on with The Crown, because I'm more than a season behind now.
Yeah.
That I just maybe just feeling too close, and
I'm looking forward to the next seasons though.
Yeah.
Ooh, child.
And that's been announced, right? That's coming.
Yep, it's coming. When we come back, you know what else is coming? The Dark Lord of our radio station. She's completely devoid of personality and emotion. Bea Arthur will be joining us to talk about Lori and Julia not knowing how to use a basic Commodore 64 computer. We'll be right back.